Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we know that you are here because science has proven it by the eye of the camera, which human eye could not catch, by vindication from a prophet. But how tragic we know it is that the majority of people do not know that. How tragic to realize that a man whose office would one day bring the Antichrist on the scene is perceptive enough to know that you are here in some form because of what is going on, recognizing the Spirit of God by the very nature of that which is coming fast. And yet those people who claim so vociferously to be your people even deny the very fact of the headstone, the capstone, the reality of him who has come down in this last hour to bring the message, to raise the dead, to gather us for the rapture, to become incarnate for the wedding supper, all those things. They not only believe, Lord, but they slander your great name and your great work. We pray for them, Lord, that they may begin to understand that this is not something that is made up by man or men, but it is something that is real, absolutely, positively true, follows in every type, follows right down to from Genesis to Revelation, and here we are at the end time. Help us, Lord, to understand, and not only to understand the truth of your presence, but to so walk in obedience to you, knowing that you are present, that we might judge ourselves and judge every work and every step, O God, which we're not doing too well. We certainly admit that, but we saw a prophet who did. May we follow in his footsteps, not just pray for the spirit that he had, because we know that that may be reaching too far in the sense that we might attach something to that spirit that does not belong to us. But we could believe, Lord, for that one who gave him that character, helped him to work it out by grace. We pray that might be our lot tonight, that we might stand here not only fully perceptive in the sense of knowing, but also walking in the light as he is in the light, and have fellowship one with another, blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleansing. That this is what we desire. We prayed it, Lord. We laid back upon your altar, believing it is your word, and we have a right to ask for it. Then, Lord, also knowing we have a right to believe for it. Help us tonight. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, we're still answering the questions for a certain brother that wrote me from Europe. And we took last Sunday, or I suppose it was last Sunday, yeah, concerning the fact he asked me about a certain individual from Belgium came to him and brought him a little bit of a problem in that he could not believe what the man said, and he's right in not believing it, that we are teaching some strange doctrine apart from what Brother Branham taught, which, of course, is the parousia, or known as the presence. And, of course, the man says it causes confusion and disorder. Well, didn't Jesus cause confusion and disorder according to what the people thought? So if we were not causing some disorder in the sense that we were putting people a little bit to the point of the sword, let me tell you, God said, cursed is man whose sword does not draw blood. And if we're on the battlefield without the skill of the Holy Spirit, and Brother Branham said that sword in the hand of the skilled swordsman will accomplish the work of Almighty God. And so the brother was very kind, and he said, how can people speak against something while they don't really know what they're speaking about? And you'll find that tonight as we go in a little further into this subject on the parousia. Now, the parousia is simply a word in the Bible that means presence, and it has been fought over for centuries. And in fact, about 100 years ago, a very large book was written by a certain man who literally missed the point 100%. And of course, he went back to the book of Matthew, and chapter 24 in there, where they came to Jesus, and they just left the temple, and Jesus said, he said, there's not going to be one stone left upon another. They're all going to be thrown down. And so when they got to the Mount of Olives in the 3rd verse, the disciples came in privately saying, tell us when these things shall be and what should be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world. Now, he took the thought there that the parousia would actually mean an actual coming. In other words, a second coming. And actually, in other words, the setting up of his kingdom. Because you see, that's exactly what most people believe the second coming actually is Christ returning to the earth with his bride and setting up his kingdom. Now, that is true that that happens, but that's not the second coming, that's the third coming. Because you're talking with As Brother Branham said, Christ coming mortal to shed his blood, then Christ coming back for his saints when he meets them in the air. Now watch carefully, meeting in the air, and that's 1 Thessalonians 4, chapter 4, 15 and 16 and through there, 16. And then you notice in Revelation 19, he says concerning Revelation 19, that the bride goes up in the fourth chapter because John types the bride being caught up to the throne or before the throne as he was. And then he said, you don't see the church, the true bride, again until Revelation 19 when she comes back with Jesus Christ. And, of course, at that particular time, he reigns and rules with a rod of iron, dashing and shivers the nations. And at that particular time that takes place, then he's then, of course, I don't know if this is on a tape or not, but I did ask him personally. I think it's on a tape where he said Christ renovates at least a part of the earth, and the bride then and the groom set up the rest of the tenure upon the earth, which under the beautiful conditions existing in Eden and on the earth are restored yet even in a higher and more marvelous form. So, all right, this fellow here, I think his name is Russell, not the Russell that has to do with the Jehovah's Witness and so on. He says here that this word parousia has to do with that coming. And he bases it upon what he calls his own fact in Scripture. And he said that Jesus Christ had talked to the disciples concerning his coming and his glory, the great kingdom to come, that they were thoroughly conversant with it. And so when they spoke of this word coming, they literally knew that he was going to come again and he's going to set up his kingdom. That is the biggest, stupidest lie, the most stupid thing I've ever heard in my life concerning the Scripture. Because even after he died, and they found him on the road to Emmaus, they still didn't have a real clue. Now, come on. Let's not be stupid. Read your Bibles. See? Go to the book of Luke and let's find out what they were like. They were in shock. Very last chapter of the book of Luke, 24th chapter. Now it says in verse 13, and behold, two of them went that same day, that's a resurrection morning, to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 60 furlongs. One furlong's 582 feet, so they're going a few feet, a few miles. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass while they communed and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. And their eyes couldn't recognize him because he wouldn't let himself be recognized. Their eyes were beholden, they should not know him. He deliberately did it. And he said to them, what communication? What are you talking about? You've got with one another while you're walking, and you seem so sad. And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? And hast thou not known the things which are come to pass in these days? That sure sounds like they knew about the coming glory and kingdom. Here's a smorgasbord spread. Not just hot dogs and hamburgers, but pheasant under glass. And special kinds of caviar, which is nothing but gooseberries that taste like fish. Roast turkey, everything here. My God, I wish I had some food. My God, I wish you had some food. Can you imagine that these men knew what this author says? Well, let's keep reading. Are you only a stranger that you don't know what's happened here in Jerusalem? He said, what things? And they said, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which is a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God, and all the people, how the chief priests and our rulers had delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified, but we had trusted he'd been the one which should have redeemed Israel. Besides all this, it's the third day when these things are done, and certain people, women especially, you know, big mouth women, also, well, they belong to our company, we had to listen to them, flapping their jaws, they made us astonished. Which were at the sepulcher. Women beat him to the sepulcher. And when they found out his body, they came saying that they'd seen a vision of angels. We said he was alive. That just complicates the matters even more.
Who are you going to believe? Some man that's a preacher and writes a book? Are you going to believe the word of God? You do what you want. They don't fool me one bit. I don't care how big a book he writes. 400 pages, 610,000. It's all garbage. Because his premise is 100% wrong. See? These guys didn't know for diddlies about a second coming because they couldn't even comprehend the first coming. You tell me you can't count to one, but suddenly you can count to two? I'm not being sarcastic. I'm just being right down to earth. And he said, of all fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to suffer these things and to enter in his glory? No suffering, no glory. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded them in all the scripture, the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh the village and went whither they went, and made as though they would have gone further. And they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it's toward evening, and the day is far spent. He went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and broke and gave to them. And then their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. Doesn't mean anything at all. Now, Luke writes, and he talks about Jesus. The authoritative treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to both to do and to teach, which was a prophet. Does he? Does it? Then he gave the commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. Now look, it came by the Holy Ghost of commandments, which are fine, but remember, Paul was the one that had the revelation and the word. To whom also showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proof, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them he should not depart from Jerusalem, wait for the promise of the Father, which said he have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but he'll be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? What's that guy talking about? Here, they still haven't got a real clue. Understand what I'm saying? Here he is, 40 days with the people. Now they come and they say, after 40 days, and they say, are you going to restore the kingdom now? So go on back to Matthew. If they couldn't figure it then, after seeing him alive from the dead 40 days, don't tell me they knew it back there in Matthew 24. Because of tonight, you don't know that 2 and 2 make 4. Suddenly tomorrow morning, you will not know 2 and 2 make 4, or 3 and 3 make 6. Now make up your mind. See, look, let's get down to the nitty-gritty where human beings are. Not some great big exalted doctrine a million miles into space or the New Jerusalem. Let's get down to the Bible right here. They didn't recognize him. Their hearts burned. So after recognizing, they say, will you now restore the kingdom? And he'd been dinning in their ears. No. It's way down the road. He talked about the great tribulation. He talked about the siege by Titus, the diaspora. They didn't understand it. And there wasn't any way because the Holy Ghost was not yet given to them. They needed the key. Now listen. They said, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said, and it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own hands. But you'll receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you'll be witness unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, also even at the uttermost parts of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up a cloud, received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? They were rebuked. So maybe they were just being not rebuked, but questioned. What would you question anybody that doesn't signify some rebuke and something of unbelief because you saw them up when you're going, huh? Tell me, how much have you got on the ball that if you saw somebody taken up, you wouldn't? I kind of thought it was a yo-yo situation, up and down. So, he rebuked them. Why are you standing here? This same Jesus which is taken from you up into heaven shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven. But he said, don't you stick around here waiting for times and seasons. You go on back and get full of the Holy Ghost, which Jesus just talked about. So therefore, when people begin writing books and telling you this and that and the other thing, you better know jolly well what they're talking about, because the point is this, they don't know what they're talking about. You better know where the error lies. All right, let's look at this picture of the parousia. The parousia does not actually deal with the literal coming, the advent of the process of coming or going. It deals with the fact that the person or whatever is there having already come. How many people knew whatever came down at the river, a higher river at the foot of Spring Street in Jeffersonville, was going to come down? Not even William Branham knew it. The question is, what came down or who came down? Now that's the picture. Brother Branham categorically said, the Elijah of this hour is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Not man, God, but comes by a prophet. Now either you understand that or you don't understand it. You'll be helped to understand by this next quote. When you see God descend from the heavens and stand before men and declare himself, or groups of men, and declare himself as ever he did. You understand again that Brother Branham was asked the question, what exactly does it mean when Jesus said, he that has seen me has seen the Father? He said, you're looking at me, aren't you? The same thing. See, people don't believe that God's in the prophets. Oh, I got the Holy Ghost. I'm a suit and I'm this, I'm that. I went to the altar. I don't care two bits if you went to the altar. You went to heaven and back again. You could end plumb up in hell as an unbeliever. You can be as defiant as Cain. And you can think you know something you don't know it at all. And you can think you know something as Peter, James, and John did and not know it the way Paul did it. Brother Branham said, there's no great one amongst us. Great ones. He said, the great one is here. Brother Branham's concerning himself said, like John the Baptist, he must increase and I must decrease. The trouble is people can take quote after quote that Brother Branham said and misapply it like you could do the Bible. Now there's only one way that you can get the quotes of Brother Branham right, is to take them back to the Bible and see them in here. Because Brother Branham couldn't add one word or take one word. And when the seals were opened and they said, Brother Branham, you could write a new Bible. He said, no way, shape, and form. And he said, the devil was trying to trick him by the mouths of those so-called Holy Ghost preachers. He said, because it's already in the book. Even when Brother Branham said at the end time under the seventh seal, revealing those mysteries which are not known from before the foundation of the world, they have to be in here, and he was have to be saying they were revealed in their proper content. Because everything in this was before the foundation of the world. But they'll abuse themselves and abuse you and try to abuse me. The doctrine of the so-called proofs, which simply is the presence, as I said, has been known for centuries. It's all through the Bible. And you have only one question to ask. If there is a presence, who is present? Well, you know, positively, the Lord Jesus Christ in flesh is not present. And Brother Branham said, if he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now get this carefully. When he used Hebrews 13 and 8, he invariably went to Genesis. Is it 18 or 19? Let's find out so no mealy-mouthed person is going to start fussing at me. It's the 19th chapter. When God came down in the plains of Mamre, and Abraham sat in the tent door, and he saw three human beings, of which two he recognized as angels, and one he recognized as God. And after he killed the calf, and Brother Branham said, if God ate the flesh of a calf and drank the milk, then when Sarah was in the tent, God stood out that tent with his back to the tent, and he said, Sarah shall have a child, though she's 90 years old, and she laughed in her heart. And God said, Sarah, why did you laugh? And she said, I didn't laugh. He said, oh, but you did. And God would have killed her, except she was a part of Abraham. Jeffersonville, the last series of meetings in the high school, the night that Mitchell was there from Virginia, who had tuberculosis. He was a minor. And Brother Brown deliberately turned his back, called him by name, discerned the disease. I believe he pronounced him healed, but not thus saith the Lord. And he said that was exactly Hebrews 13 and 8. Now he said, if he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he's obligated to do for the Gentiles what he did for the Jews when he was here in the flesh, he will now in the form of the Holy Ghost do identical. And Brother Branham said that was the last sign the church sees before she's caught up. When they said to him, Brother Branham, what does it mean? When you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He said, you're looking at me, aren't you? Same thing. Now get this flat. He said, it's not William Branham that says, thus saith the Lord, and everything comes to pass. It's not Brother Branham, Brother Branham that calls out those diseases. It's not William Branham makes that thing come to pass. He said, it's God, and God's in the prophet. And he said, after the pillar of fire is standing up, it's up inside of me right now. Not at that one time, but he said another time. Now what do you want for nickel? You say you believe the message. You can't believe this message without believing the messenger, knowing who he is and what his empowerment is from God. As Brother Branham said, he's got to the people. Oh, they didn't want that. I want to tell you, I want it so I know something. Well, bless God, I believe Dale's smart. He knows this and he knows that. He don't need nobody. Well, you ask my wife about that. It's getting to the place I don't even cut my toenails anymore. It's not because I'm too fat, but my fingers are gone. You'll find out one of these days you really need God. Might be just too late, too. Might be way too late. All right. We've used these quotes. In 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, it says, the Lord himself shall descend him with a shout. Brother Branham said it was a message. Which is true. Putting the church in order. Now, the question is Brother Branham, I'm using this with the other quote Brother Branham said, when Moses went down to Egypt, God did not only appear there in signs and wonders, but he himself also appeared in the pillar of fire upon Mount Sinai, so today. Then when it says, the Lord himself then shall descend with a shout, the Elijah this hour, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, not man, God. Again, he mentions concerning Joshua, the leader, is the Holy Ghost. Again, mentioning when he showed there weren't three gods, Jesus said God was his father, yet the Bible said the Holy Ghost came upon Mary. He couldn't have had two fathers. A woman can have babies with two different fathers. They can be twins in her womb, too. Impregnated about just about the same time, or even one man impregnated his wife, and she was going to have a baby, and six weeks later, she got pregnant again. And when it came time for the first baby to get born, almost killed the second baby and the mother. And that's record. That's absolutely medical record. I know where you can get the record. So, all right. Your question is, who came down? I ask you, before anybody knew about one thing, God going to appear in human flesh, who came down at the time of Abraham? Who was it? It was Elohim. What is Jehovah with all these compound titles, anything but Elohim? Elohim revealing himself. Because it was Elohim who said, by my name Jehovah, I have not been for formerly known. You already had it. Waiting for the hour to come forth. So we're looking at this picture. Who came down? It wasn't the body that came down with the shout, the voice, and the trumpet. It wasn't the body that came down, as Brother Branham said, concerning Mount Sinai, the pillar of fire, so today, and we've got his picture. He said it was God appearing in signs and wonder and getting his picture taken. What is that then but the Shekinah glory, which is merely the light and the glory attendant upon what is behind the light and the glory? That's the closest you'll ever get to seeing God right there when it comes to manifestation of that particular order. Now, Brother Branham also categorically said, concerning this one who came down here, the one that's inhabiting him, the one that he said is the same yesterday, today, and forever, on the grounds that it wasn't Jesus that did the works. He said, my Father in me doeth the works. All right. He said, this great one that came down and is doing the works. Absolutely, God himself. In the prophet. And according to the word of God, which was laid down by the people before God, and God accepted and he put it in their way, their hearts, in order to do it. Which was, he said, this one that's going to speak for me will have to come vindicated before he speaks one word. Then, of course, plenty of prophets will rise up with signs and wonders and have come against the word. They're the false ones. And so we see when Brother Branham tells us categorically, when you see God descend from the heavens and stand before groups of men and declare himself as ever he did, he's telling you the way that God absolutely always appears and shows himself. So in this hour, he has showed himself in signs and wonders and actually come down doing it, getting his picture taken, showing that he's identical, Hebrews 13 and 8, how he's leading us out of our bondage of Babylon, not only our bondage in Babylon, but even leading us out of the bondage of the church and the corruption of the flesh, so there's going to be a resurrection and a changed human body where he caught away the wedding supper. That's what you're looking at, is the presence. Now, let's just take a look and see if I'm just blowing off hot air or not. I told you positively, if Brother Branham said a thing, it's our job to go to the Bible to see if he's right. Not to see if he's right in the sense we want to see if he's right. We want to see that he's right on the grounds. We can take it right back to the Word of God. Now, Brother Branham categorically said in 1962, my ministry is to declare that he is here. But he said in the rapture tape There is no such thing as a true healing revival unless God sends a new message. And Brother Branham spoke of that healing revival for 30 solid years had been on, he said, and not diminished. Brother Branham said that God does not vindicate the same old tired message. Now, what is the message of His presence according to Orthodox religion and Pentecostals? And I'll read from a guy's book tonight and the whole shebang. Their understanding of the presence is God shed forth the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost. And from that time on, He's present with us always. And therefore, that is the presence. I want to ask you a question. Who was it that came to the Apostle Paul even before he was baptized with the Holy Ghost and knew anything about a presence by the baptism? Who was it that smote him on the road to Damascus? Who art thou, Lord? I am Jehovah. And he knew it. The man that was a blasphemer, a man that was a murderer, now was told by God, you go down to a house where Ananias lives in a house called Straight in Damascus. So he went to the street called Straight in the house of Damascus, and God warned Ananias that there's a man called Saul, that old murderer, coming down here to your house. And then poor old Ananias got scared. Well, he said, I hope he doesn't really find Medor, because he's the guy that just hauls people to court and has them killed off. And he said, no, it's not this time. He's been struck blind by me. You're going to lay hands on him so he can receive the Holy Ghost and then his sight. Now the question comes up this. That's exactly what Paul did. Now if the Apostle Paul, simply on the grounds of the baptism with the Holy Ghost, can receive the pure word by word revelation that we have here, then every other person is entitled to it. And that's where everybody makes a mistake, especially the Pentecostals and those people that believe when they're born again, they're full of the Holy Ghost. They say, well, I got the Holy Ghost, bless God, I don't need no prophet. You lying scum. Because that's what you are. How did you get this word in the first place? How did a man get it? It wasn't because he was baptized with the Holy Ghost. He was a chosen vessel unto Almighty God. A prophet born as Jeremiah from before his mother's womb. Born with a special mechanism where the mind blips in and out into visions, trances. Why don't you try it? You'll end up with a bunch of spirit worshipers plumb to the pit of hell. Go ahead. You say, Brother Bale, you're tough. You don't even call me brother, I suppose, after that. Hey, I am tough. I know what I'm talking about. I'm not standing up just mouthing off. All right, I mentioned that Brother Branham categorically, he himself said, I cannot preach any other doctrine than Paul preached. I cannot preach anything outside the Word. He said, this book is completely filled. And he said, the seven seals corrected the errors. Filled in the revelations. All the mysteries are being fulfilled. People don't want to believe that. That's because they got their own ideas about mysteries. Doesn't mean because something mysterious to you is not in the prophet's message, hasn't been cleared up for somebody. You going around butting your head against the wall doesn't mean you got that you know something nobody else does because you butt your head against the wall. All right. Going back again. It has to be in the Word. And Brother Branham said, my ministry is to declare that He is here. Where is it in the Word that He being here is not simply in your heart by the Holy Ghost, but He Himself being here. Because that's different from what you got. You only got a part of that. You having the Holy Ghost is no different. Then you have been like a salmon by his sperm count and had billions. And those billions could have had billions more because you're dealing with a life stream and that was only created. Now start dealing with God. Is he any different? No. God, by bringing forth even millions of children, wise and foolish virgin children. Not a great big whoopee family. Here's big God, little God, next God, and so on. All we get together and vote him out, we'll all be God, same rank, all same rank. Everybody's God now. Listen, it's insanity. Who came down? He's right there. When you saw William Branham, you saw God. So, Brother Bill, blasphemy. Well, I got news for you. Chicken out, go ahead. Don't have the guts to stay with the Word. Here's where you see they're all getting mixed up. They don't believe that Brother Branham had the true revelation. So they got to ham it up. They've got to add to it. You think that people out there that don't believe the presence, you think for one minute they really believe that William Branham was truly God to the people? Now when they saw him, they saw God. Yeah. You know what? If they heard themselves say, you weren't looking at a man, you were looking at God, they'd go home and wash their mouths up with carbolic acid, if not drink prussic acid, and cut their tongues out, and maybe stab themselves in the heart. Because they knew they had a devil. I didn't say they would. I said maybe. I think I didn't even put it to a maybe stage. What was it all about? God in the man. But not like he's in you and me. Because the fullness of God does not inhabit you and me. It's merely the light coming upon the light. Like in a union, bringing us back to God. In a perfect harmony again. See, so we look at all these things. And people simply do not understand what we're saying. Because what they do, they know their own thinking. So they say, well, that can't be right because my thinking doesn't say that. And they don't know they're not thinking what the prophet thought. That makes it a very bad situation. Too bad, but that's the way it is, and I guess that's the way it's going to continue. Now, Brother Branham categorically mentioned that coming and appearing were two different things. Now, categorically, we know that the world positively believes that the rapture is the appearing. But let's understand this, that is not so. The days of the Son of Man is the appearing. And that's when he showed he was here with signs and wonders and even had his picture taken. So we know where we stand on his presence. But what troubles me is not the fact that you and I know that. What troubles me is the fact that we do not have the sincerity anywhere near what Brother Branham had in realizing the presence of him who is here. It's like when Banquets was talking to that deity bunch that came out of camp. They're all down here now, of course. I don't think anybody's up in Canada's deity anymore. Could be, I don't know. And Banks said, so you say William Branham is God? Yeah. Well, he said, it sure beats me because you being around the way you are, nothing is rubbed off on him to you, the way you're acting. Is that the way it is with us? Well, I'm going to tell you something. You will never have the reality of the Holy Ghost making real to you and transforming you according to what you and I want unless we first of all believe the mechanics. Because you'll never ride on wheels until you get wheels. Yeah, your gas won't do you a bit of good until you get the spark. And Brother Branham always talked about mechanics and dynamics, and everybody gets carried away as though, well, you don't got the mechanics, blah, blah, blah. Well, I want to tell you one thing. If you ain't got the mechanics, you ain't going to get the dynamics. Because that's where the foolish virgin is. She does not have the dynamics, the mechanics. Because it says she didn't have oil in her vessel. She had the vessel. But evidently, it leaked out. Now listen, it says they trimmed their lamps and they got them burning. Those lamps, in my understanding, evidently weren't burning, or they plumb burned themselves out. There was no oil. What happened? They didn't have the right message. Because Brother Branham categorically said, he said, that oil in there was the Word. Also said it's the Holy Spirit. But remember, he puts the two together on the grounds that the Holy Spirit is given by, the measure of the Holy Spirit is the measure of the Word, and you can't have a Holy Spirit without a conduit. You can't have the Holy Ghost and there's something to pour him into. And if you're not Word, having come from God, the Holy Ghost will never get in you. Let's get that flat. If you haven't got the right Word, there'll be no anointing. It's true. You'll never get the dynamics. Because God will not give dynamics to anything but what is His. You say, what about the fact that these people out there, he said, they got these gifts. Where do you ever find the gifts of the Holy Ghost? They're simply gifts of the Holy Ghost. Like I give you my pen, that's a gift. I don't give you myself. If I gave you myself, then you'd be heir to my life. Right? God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Why? Because that one was life. In him was life. The life was the light of man. You can't bypass this Word. There's no way. There's no way at all. Now, I do admit there's a great misunderstanding concerning these things, but it's not my point to try to get into everything concerning it. But I got a little book in my hands given to me. A message commentary on the erroneous Perusia doctrine. Now, it's a sad commentary that this man will write something he doesn't know about. Now, this brother in France, he said, how can you judge anything until, first of all, you know what you're judging? In other words, let's put it straight. If I've got a dog show, and I'm going to have the doggies come by the judge, and the tail's got to be so, and the snoot up here so, and I said, well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. We're going to have the dogs judged by a judge who judges sheep. He say, hold it, hold it, hold it. What are you trying to tell me? You can't have a dog show and have a sheep judge come in. You can't have a horse show and see something else come in. Well, how are you going to judge anything if you're not qualified to judge it? That you don't know the story. Number one, he says, the Perusia doctrine is false because it opposes and contradicts Brother Branham's message that teaches us with clarity that we are not to try to figure out the mysteries of God. I never tried to figure anything out. Brother Branham said, my ministry is to declare that he is here. And he said, there's no such thing as a true healing revival, which he had, that doesn't bring the fresh message. Then what is his fresh message about? He's here. What is the old message? He is everywhere. And they get to the place, I breathe him in. I breathe him out. I wave my arms. And pretty soon you're eating and drinking. You're into the most stupid type of universalism under God's high heaven. Pretty soon you'll believe the rocks are going to cry out because they got voices. Well, they surely will if you grind them into powder and the powder energizes the plant and you eat the plant and you cry out, then the rocks have cried out. That's going to happen. Like Brother Branham said, he turned water to wine. He just bypassed the grape. So I'm on perfect scripture grounds when I bring you out these illustrations. Okay, flip your tape. Without even delving into specific refutations of the teaching of Perusia doctrine, because he can't, he doesn't know what they're about. It is revealed as false because it's built on a false premise, the wisdom of man figuring out the mysteries of God. Even a brief study of the Bible and church history indicates that this same false premise is usually present in all false doctrines that have proliferated through the ages. Now, just a minute. He said this is a revelation. Well, if somebody else had it down the road, what's he talking about us having a revelation? This would then be the simple teaching of a former error. Now, what did Brother Branham say that he came to do? Under the seven seals, they corrected the errors. I'll say I got to visualize a blackboard up here, and there's nothing on it. And you look at the blackboard and you say, Brother Bale corrected the errors. There's nothing on it. We say that in itself is an error. That there's nothing on it. Who do you think I am that I should put my hand on the board and write something? You get any picture? William Branham's message? It's all in the Bible. And men have looked at it wrong. And it's time to correct it. So what is this message of the presence? He took them to Matthew 4. And I can see now why he did. Had he taken them to Matthew 12, they would have fallen and understand. And understood the truth, which they weren't supposed to understand. Because when they said, Brother Branham, understand there's 10,000 people believe this message. Too many. Got to shake them off. Now they tell me there's up to 500,000. Eight made the flood. One made the rapture. He said, a brief study. So, the man doesn't know what he's talking about. All due respect, and he can say what he wants. And he puts page after page of little things Brother Branham said. But what's the use if you don't know the doctrine? The Perusian doctrine is false because it contradicts and opposes Brother Branham's message plates that states plainly that Revelation 5, 6 to 10 is yet to come to pass. Now, what does he say about that? Well, let's read it because it's interesting. Let's find out if he knows what he's saying. Now, you know right now he doesn't. Revelation 10, you know, the mighty one came down. And he declared, of course, it says here, the angel was stout upon, lifted his hand to heaven, said, swear by him that is driven it, he created heaven, and so on. the time should be no longer. And he goes into the fact that Brother Branham said the time goes plumb past the millennium. When have I not taught that? Doesn't this man know by reading the same Bible that Brother Branham read, which was a Scofield edition, which was the King James Version, that it says time should be no longer delayed? So Brother Branham said the time is no longer. But did you forget that Brother Branham said time and eternity have mingled? So therefore time is going on while eternity has set in. Does this man not know that Brother Branham said the seventh seal is Revelation 10, 1 to 7? No, he doesn't. He doesn't know it. There's no way he can know it. He wouldn't have said it. He said, yet to come to pass. Does he know the seventh seal is a Roman candle that shoots plumb off into eternity? Doesn't he know there were seven seals on the back of the book? And does he not know that Brother Branham himself made a mistake that he himself had to correct? When he preached before the seals, there were seven seals inside. And he illustrated, he said, in the old days they had a scroll, maybe a papyrus or sheepskin. And he said they rolled and put a seal. Then they took the other piece on top and rolled and put a seal. And rolled and put the seven seals inside. There is no scripture for it. And Brother Branham came back and apologized. If there are seven seals on the back of that book written, and six seals are ripped off, and one remains, then the book cannot be opened. You say, why waste your time? The Persian doctrine is false because it contradicts Brother Branham's straightforward teaching that the part of the seventh seal yet remains. Understanding a portion of the seventh seal yet remains a mystery. It becomes even more apparent. Revelation 10 and 6 is a future event. It's an ongoing event. You'll never get them to understand that. All these other quotes in here, they don't have one bit of thing to do with it. The word comes to the prophet, not the pope or a council sophist. If you're not a prophet, you're a new revelation of anything different than from what... His English is not even right. Then what God's prophet gave, what God's prophet, Brother Branham, brought is of necessity false. Since the Perusia doctrine has its inception been the teaching of men and not the prophet, Brother Branham taught no such doctrine while alive on the earth. What about the doctrine he said, my ministers declare that he is here? What about the fact he said God did not only go down in Egypt with Moses and appear in signs and wonder, but he himself also appeared in the pillar of fire upon Mount Sinai, so today, and we have his picture. When you see God descend to heaven and stand before groups of men and declare himself as ever he did, this man is a million miles off the picture, because he never has believed the prophet. You know why? Because he will not give his thinking over to the prophet. I learned that well. None of you understood it when Brother Branham put his finger under my nose and set me straight. When you get the finger of a prophet under your nose, you'll begin to understand you don't know anything, even though you think you know what he said. You got to get rid of your own thinking. Time after time, I've looked at some of Brother Branham's sermons and scratched my head and said, "Oh, God, be merciful, I can't face it." And then say, "Just a minute, buddy. He said it, you better get to know him." And you know what I found out? It wasn't even beginning to be what I thought it was. That doesn't make me anything, but that book is such nonsense. The man doesn't know that his ministry was a message. One fellow came to Bob Brown one time. He said, "Bob," he said, "what is the presence got to..." He goes, "That's his business." Number five, the authors and promulgators of this Perusian doctrine count themselves prophets. Remember that a prophet who receives part of the word today could never bring anything contrary to what Brother Branham has already brought, because there's only one major prophet minister, and so on and so on. See, he doesn't know that William Branham had to line up everything with this book, and he did it. He's still reading his scripture wrong. All of these things, listen, you can do what you want. You can write anything, but I want to tell you something. The minute you put your name to this, and let me tell you where he sent this little article. Oh, he's happy with what he wrote. And you know something? Standing here tonight, I can almost bet you $1 million to hole in the donut that he actually believes the presence and doesn't even know it. All you got to ask, who came down? Because Brother Branham said, "Jesus does all three and descending." And who is Jesus? Jehovah. Who was the one in the manger? Little Jehovah. Anybody here named John? Yeah. Well, there's nobody here named Aaron. What if little Aaron was in a crib? Little Aaron crying. Son of God. Brother, sister, let me tell you something. I've waited over 25 years for some of my answers. I've got a unique patience with my crashing personality that comes up with Sherman tanks and blazing cannons. But I've got a patience you don't know a thing about. I can suddenly go dead and wait for the answers. I'm not saying this man doesn't have it. Be very alert and slow down. Nobody considers himself a prophet. No man living has put the prophet forward as I've put him forward. And if he says he has, he's a liar, because I've got the books to prove it. If any man says, "I preach not William Branham and Jesus Christ, the master and the servant," that person doesn't know what he said. And if any man thinks I'm off this message, I don't care if he comes or not. Let him write his books. Here's what he says. Number seven, the Perusian doctrine is false because it contradicts and opposes the message Brother Branham brought us. There are only three comings of Christ. The second coming is a future event when Christ meets his bride in the air. When did I or anybody else that believes this message right ever say that this was the second coming? This is the appearing. This is the days of the Son of Man. And what are the days of the Son of Man? When God himself in human form did what no man could ever do. But he said in John 15, which Brother Branham absolutely quoted, and I did not know he had read it and quoted it, "If I had not done the works of the man, did they not sin? But now they have both seen and hated both me and my Father." And he said, "It is the Father that doeth the works." And he said, "It's the Father that says the words." Son of Man. Elohim. The head of woman is the man. The head of man is Christ. The head of Christ is God. Don't ever forget it. Not two gods. No, no. And Brother Branham said, headship has come. Nobody said it was the second coming. Because it isn't. It's appearing. It is God in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, putting everything under the feet of Jesus at the time of the presence, which is at the time of the first fruits of the Gentile church. Read it for yourself. See, they don't know what they're talking about. Three physicals coming, one mortal to die, one to meet the bride in the air. And at that time, now listen, the Spirit that is, when the Spirit that's in our midst becomes incarnate. What Spirit incarnated Himself in Jesus' body? God! Elohim! Who went into the great man Moses? Who? To the great man Paul? Who? To the great man William Branham. God. Here's your scripture. I do not relish coming across things like this when I see a man make dog meat out of the message a prophet brought us. Proves it's false. It contradicts the message Brother Brown Penny teaches that all the message is valid, not just portions, which accommodate personal beliefs. For example, many ignored the message prior to the teaching of the seven seals. This is indeed a strange approach. This is indeed a strange approach. As subsumed in this attitude is the belief that God sent us a prophet Elijah, the voice of the seventh angel of the book of Revelation, who spent over 80% of his ministry teaching unreliable and error-ridden doctrine. I don't know what he's talking about there. If he thinks that we don't believe every single thing, he's certainly wrong. But I can tell you right now that Brother Branham said that this prophet in the former reign sows the entire seed of the Bible from the serpent to the prophet in the former reign, and he preached on serpent seed in 1958 September. You say, then don't you believe what he said before? Certainly! But it was in 1958 the actual formation of the message really began to come into focus, and it ended 7 years later. God in sevens. Let's go further. This was interesting. The proofs of doctrine false because it contradicts opposes Brother Branham's exhortation not to rely on the Greek or any language as a method of proving truth. To interpret the message via Greek or Hebrew is absolute. It's to change absolute. That's not what Brother Branham said. And I know because I put it in the book myself. The idea is this. You cannot have a doctrine based upon simply a Greek word and argue about it. But we're not arguing about a Greek word, simple Greek word. We're arguing about a complete doctrine that's through the Bible that Brother Branham preached. Furthermore, Brother Branham himself had to go to the Bible. One time he went to the Dialogue, because that's all he had. And anybody knows the Dialogue is in Latin, done by the Roman Catholics, and they pervert the very scripture from the Greek to the Latin. But let's face it, nobody's smart enough to take every verse in the Bible and pervert it and line it up. So Brother Branham could go to the Dialogue and get the word he wanted. At the same time, Brother Branham with the King James Version went to Philippians, the second chapter, and he got the word for the Greek, which means form. And he even began to use the Greek terminology concerning the fullness of God, where God poured into Christ. What's all this talk this man talking? Nobody went to the Greek to find a doctrine. We took what Brother Branham said categorically to the Bible. And what Brother Branham said is 100% right. See, they don't know Matthew 12. I don't know that I really believe. Look, put it this way. Since Matthew 12 is so far ahead, a million miles ahead of Matthew chapter 4, did Brother Branham leave this for you and me to really seek the Word of God and know what He's saying? Let's go to Matthew 4 and read it. Then we go to Matthew 12. It's the same thing. And in verse 12, it was John cast in prison and so on. And leaving Nazareth, he goes and dwells in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast, in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, by way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The Gentiles have a Galilee, evidently. Now, the people which sat in darkness saw great light. To them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light has sprung up. From that day, Jesus began to preach and say, repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. And Brother Branham categorically used that saying, that Jesus Christ was absolutely bound, obligated, to do what He did for the Jews in the form of the flesh, now to do to the Gentiles. Now go to Matthew, the 12th chapter, where it's really spilled the beans. It's the same thing. See? In verse 13, the man is healed. Stretch forth your hand. Pharisees hold a council against him. They might destroy him. What was going to destroy Jesus in our day? The council, world council of churches. Crucified themselves the Son of God afresh. Jesus knew it. He withdrew himself the multitude. Healed them all. He never healed them all. Far as I know, except at this one time. I saw that happen in Canada. He said, bring me 24 of your worst cases, I guarantee healing. And I said, oh goody, this will be that this will rock the universe. 24 guaranteed miracles, and they wouldn't fall for it. They said, oh no, we go through the prayer line. I saw hundreds that night, and there wasn't one failure. Heal them all. When Brother Branham was with us in 1957 in Lima, Ohio, I didn't know one person that wasn't healed. And he picked them out of the audience, dozen after dozen, and people came there not even expecting anything were healed, because we prayed and prayed for days and days and days. And believe God, preaching faith until the Bible said, when Brother Branham sneezes, you'll be healed. They'd have believed it. The gift of healing went in operation Friday night, 50 miracles in 50 minutes. The first and last time in 5 years, never since to my knowledge. All right. Healed them all. And charged them, might, they should not make him known. It didn't make him known then. Did it make him known now? No. Then it might be fulfilled, spoken by the Isaiah the prophet. Behold, my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved, whom my soul is well pleased. I'll put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. What's his judgment? See? He shall not strive nor cry, neither any man hear his voice in the streets. The bruised shall he not break, smoking flesh not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory, and in his name shall the Gentiles trust. There's your 12th chapter. There's exactly what Jesus did today in the form of the Holy Ghost. In a pillar of fire, he came down here, and they never heard his voice in the street, but they heard him in Israel. In fact, he raised his voice in the street, shall not strive. He kicked them out of the temple, whipped them to a wind, and lashed them. See? The bruised reed, he shall not break. He certainly did. You can't go back and offer the blood of a lamb and a goat again. No way. The smoking flax, he quenched it. Why? Because he turned to the Gentiles. Judgment unto victory. Little bride, you never even did it. I'm asking you questions. You know what I'd like to do? No, I'm not nice, I admit it. But you tell me I never treated you wrong. I mean, if you tell me, come and tell me before the whole congregation. I don't care, Rip. We'll settle the whole thing. You know what I'd like to do? But you'd get too scared to do. I'd like to just call on several people here and let you answer these questions right tonight. Now, I've got confidence you can do it. For my God, where have you been sitting for the last 10 years? 11 years. Where have you been sitting for 11 solid years, if not 1977? Where have your heads and your hearts been? What have you been looking at? The only reason I preach this and I preach it The way I'm doing it is because this tape goes out. It's a special tape. Brother Branham used the Greek where necessary. We are not using the Greek to prove anything. It is certainly true that in this book there have been translations of words that have been used according to the English which were not really 100% with the Greek. And even when you change it 100% with the Greek, there is still no way of you knowing it. If you believe that he's already been here for 2,000 years and that's the present, there's nothing will ever convince you otherwise. And if you've already been taught by the Church of Christ, the devil heals, there's nothing will ever change you. Because Brother Branham said, let this guy quote this. You put your ear to the door jam and it'll all go through it, and you'll never change your mind again. The Perusia doctrine is only another in a long line of false doctrines sent by Satan. And the devil wrote the book. Historically, Satan has foisted upon unwitting people his own doctrine substitutes prior to God sending his true revelation. And you know his revelation is about our message that we believe that we got from Brother Branham is that we teach this as the second coming. That man is a liar, and those who informed him are liars, and everybody else that says that are liars, because I've got 900 tapes, and out of those 900 tapes, you will find at least 600 tapes of an hour and a half apiece. Time after time, I talk of the presence, the appearing. But not one time do I call it the second coming. I say with Brother Branham, if a man came here with his hands wounded and even his scars upon his brow, I'd say, get thee hence, Satan. Because it's a spirit. Spirit doesn't have wounds. That's his book. That's his book. That's a pretty sad commentary. Pretty sad commentary on the Word of God. Especially Brother Branham said, you're looking at me, aren't you? The same man could say, if God told me to go and raise Abraham Lincoln or George Washington from the dead, tomorrow morning I'd go there and challenge the armies there to shoot me down if I couldn't do it. The same man said, my ministry is to declare that he is here. And a genuine healing revival has a new message. What is the new message about the Holy Ghost in you and God everywhere? He said, just think how wonderful. The same pillar of fire that revealed the word to Paul is, or gave the word to Paul is here revealing it. Let's get this flat. Paul was not at Pentecost. The Word of God did not come at Pentecost. That was the baptism with the Holy Ghost laying a foundation so that the Gentile church could be built upon a revelation that Paul himself would give. And he delineated the Lord's Supper 100% and nobody told it to him. God did. And he wrote it down perfectly. Because he said, I received of the Lord what I'm going to tell you about. Peter never told him. But Peter corroborated because he went up and he said, I wonder if this is 100% right. Is this true? I'll ask the men that were around him. So they asked him. Peter said, yep. He said, you're right. Peter turned around and said, there's many hard things the Apostle Paul said. You can rest your own destruction. They think we've done this with what we call the Perusia, which is merely the presence. And if he's here, then he's present. And I asked the question, who's here? What he said, the same one that brought the word to Paul is here revealing it. He said that one that was in the human body of Jesus in the flesh did frizzle what he's doing here now in the form of the Holy Spirit. You tell me that was done any other generation but this generation. You tell me that was done 60 years ago. Don't be ridiculous. I was through the Pentecostal age. I'm 77 years old. I was a kid when it broke. Broke in 1906, but I was a kid when it began to flourish in the 20s. No, brother, sister, don't get confused by people writing some little book and sending it over to Korea. This man can't believe that this is a white throne. You say, Brother Vail, you're such a mean type of a preacher. This is French and Spanish and Greek and Yoruba and Korean and other languages. Or maybe he means that this day is a scripture fulfilled in some of these things here. But it's not that, though, because he's got all these other things there. You can't put an old patch on a new garment or a new patch on an old garment. So, it's too bad, but that's the way the cookie crumbles. That's the way it goes. I've got many scripture written down here concerning appearing, coming, and things like that, but we're not going to bother it because our task is to go to William Branham the prophet and see what William Branham said and then bring it right back to the Word of God so that we know, it doesn't say we're not satisfied that Brother Branham preached the truth. That's not the point. The point is there are many people who needs to go right back to the Bible to see that the doctrine is 100% with the Word. And that's exactly what it is. And the truth is so much stranger than fiction. I'm afraid more people will believe fiction and believe the lie. The Bible said they will. See, he didn't say one thing about the judge. How much did you know about the Persian? Now, somebody talked to him, and he got all carried away, and I got to admit, when I first heard of the presence, I had grave doubts myself. I thought it sounded too much like doing away with the second coming, and I'm afraid that some did exactly that. Like one man believed it, and he said, well, there's no more foot washing communion. Because, you see, if you run with this message and do desperate to the Spirit of grace that gave it, you'll understand everything else in the wrong perception the same as you understand this wrong. Because one error leads to another. Brother Brown said, add a word, add. You can't help it. Take a word, take. You can't help it. You're going to compound your errors and compound your troubles. It can't be otherwise. But if you cannot understand Matthew 12, brother, sister, and really see the interpretation of God's Word is God fulfilling it and manifesting it before you, there is something wrong with your understanding what Brother Branham said, because he said God interprets His Word by manifesting it or fulfilling it. And he stood right there and said, here I am. And no man could gainsay it, because he had thus saith the Lord. And that thus saith the Lord was the word of thus saith the Lord fulfilled before the man opened his mouth. Identical to the Apostle Paul, identical to Moses, there isn't any difference. That's as far as we're going to go, because we don't have to go any further. I'm sorry for people who don't understand this. There's a certain church not too far from here. A certain woman, I know her, and I know her husband. She went a few days ago to another certain woman that I know, and she said, Lee Bale's in false doctrine. Yet her own preacher is supposed to preach what we're preaching. Now, you got your choice in a certain place in Ohio. Well, you got a preacher. He's a preacher. Another guy leading the church is in adultery. They'll all end up spiritual adultery. You can't help it. Because you can't take away from this word. I don't care who you are. Bluster and talk all you want. You bring everything Brother Branham ever said. We got the computer right now. Let's get the computers out. You're not going to prove I've said one thing off of this word and what Brother Branham said. The same time, you're not going to have those people going above. If they do start to believe, they'll start saying, okay, Lee Thayer was right. But the point is, he's a terrible spirit. How in the world can I have the mechanics right and have a terrible spirit? Especially now, since the guy that said it has gone into the female portion of the Holy Ghost coming at Pentecost. I never heard of a woman making a man pregnant yet. Let me ask you a question. Did God or did He not call their name Adam? Did He not look at both of them as one? Where does the life come from? The man. Then Eve's life is actually male, the same as the male, but she has organs of reproduction, the same as the man does, for the purpose of reproduction. Why does the Bible say in the resurrection, neither male nor female? Reproduction. You don't marry and give in marriage, and marriage is for reproduction. Why did Brother Branham say, your father wanted to have fellowship with you, but he couldn't until through holy matrimony, the sacred bedding grounds of mother, you were brought forth? And he said, your mother's part of your father, and you're part of your father. That makes you all one. Hermaphrodites? Come on, show me one place where Brother Branham mentioned female spirit. He mentioned a feminine spirit that was separated. Where was it put? Into a female body. The funniest thing is, every man wants a woman to think like a man, but not to act like a man. Oh, brother. Now the women want to act like men. Chew tobacco, wear slacks, cuss like a trooper, initiate acts. The cattle, the beasts in Canada where there's certain poisons, don't know their sex anymore. They're bisexual or something. They're like hermaphrodites. What do you think's happening this generation? They want us so there's neither male nor female. Or they say little girls simply just got to play with dolls because dolls are forced on them. And little boys got hammers and saws because hammers and saws are forced on them. And how come little girls' voices don't change like little boys' voices change? All you got to do is tell them not to do it. Your brother Branham said, why don't you give the baby a little bell? Stop yelling and screaming in my ears, little idiot. Here's a bell. Look, wake up to the fact, brother, sister. Eight people went over in the flood and one person made a rapture. But I want you to know one thing. In His name shall the Gentiles trust. And all of this is in His name. Now, if I'm wrong and you believe me, I will answer for you, but you're dead the same as I am. And if I am right, and I know jolly well I am. No problem. No problem at all. The Lord Himself shall descend with the shout, the voice of the archangel, the trump of God. And Brother Branham said, Jesus does all three in descending. And who is Jesus? The same one that met Paul. I'm Jehovah. And He comes with a message. And the message is church order. And what is church order? Paul tells you in 2 Thessalonians 7 to 10. And Paul tells a secret in Ephesians 1, 17 to 23. And James told us the judge is at the door. And John says, I knock at the door. Who's knocking? The judge. What's he doing? Separating chaff and wheat. Brother, sister, listen to me. This message of Brother Branham's is 100% word. And because somebody doesn't find it, he wants to shoot his face off and write articles. That's his business, not mine. I don't care what he does, how big a church or anything else he's got. But if anybody thinks they can intimidate me, they're entirely wrong. Let's have it out. Let's get the computers. Because I want to tell you, he's here in a way he wasn't here for 2,000 years. I don't know what they're doing in that church, speaking in tongues or anything else. That's their business. All right. May sound like a kind of fighting message, but the point is this. I just preach it as I see it. He preaches it, he sees it. But it gives me a good... The man wants to know about what's going on. Is this a false doctrine? No, but there's thousands, but thousands will say it is. But like the man said, how do you know what the guy teaches? Like the guy that challenged Joe in Hungary. The guy didn't even know the quote, but he took my quote and said, "Lee Dale's an error." He said so-and-so. And Joe said, "Well, then the prophet's wrong because he just quoted the prophet." But the same guy came with a little group of people and he said, "What are you praying for? You don't need to pray. The prophet is here." Me and him. Did I ever tell you not to pray? There's a difference. You pin something on me. Let's see if it sticks. Could, you know. My temper, yes. I'm short-tempered. I'm short-fused. That's pretty well where it ends. And, of course, that could end in a lot of things. You know, the old saying, whom the gods at first destroy, they first make angry. I'm not angry with this, but not particularly upset either. The point is, I just want you to know this kind of stuff goes out. And some of the things I say here, I can tell you right now, there ought to be at least 15 men in this congregation, 15 minimum, and another 10 women who could answer every one of these points. And if you're sitting here tonight and you feel you can't, you better get your Friday night meetings going again and go over all these points. You better get to know what's going on. Because you ain't going to get to heaven by Lee Dale any more than Lee Dale gets to heaven by William Branham. William Branham gets to heaven by himself. There's a bride being chosen at the end time. Let me read about her. I read it hundreds and hundreds of times. The God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom, revelation, knowledge of himself. The eyes of understanding being light, you may know what is hope of his calling, but the riches of the glory is inherent in the saints. And then, what is exceeding great is his power to us who believe, according to working mighty power which he wrought in Christ. Tells you right there, something's going to happen before the rapture. There's going to be a revelation. And if the revelation is just before the resurrection and rapture, then it's got to be the shout. And I ask you, who's doing it? God. The same Jesus, Jehovah, that left the body and went back to the pillar of fire, came right down to William Branham. Oh, they say, blasphemy, that's a man. Well, you have it your way and God will have it his, don't worry. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you again for the truth that you bring us by the prophet. And we know, Lord, everything he said has got to be here in the Word somewhere. We don't pretend, Lord, that we would find it without your help. We might not even find it at all because you might not want to show us these things. But we realize, Lord, in this last day that every single thing we need is here to put us in the rapture because Brother Branham said so. And he said all the mysteries were made known. Of course, we know, Lord, he said there was a that the seventh seal was left out of Matthew 24 with just six seals, which was the coming of the Lord. And we know that's true because he said Revelation 7 is Revelation, the seventh seal is Revelation 10, 1-7. And that just brought us to the place when the bride would be actually caught up. But the conditions were already laid down. So, Father, we leave it in your hands tonight and pass on now. Because it could all devolve and it's just a matter of argument. Who needs an argument? We want reality in life. We ask your mercy in Jesus' name for your glory. Amen. Reading in 1 Corinthians 11, what I quoted tonight, Paul said, "I did not get this from Peter. I did not get this from, from James, John, or anybody else." If you notice over here in Corinthians, I beg your pardon, Galatians, the first chapter, he distinctly said, "But I certify you, brethren," the 11th verse, "that the gospel which is preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it by man," see, "but by revelation of Jesus Christ." In other words, Jesus Christ himself revealed his word, just the same as John himself had a vision. And in these visions, book called Revelation, John became a scribe. But it was not so with Paul. It was not visions, although perhaps he had visions. He tells it he did, of course. But he does not call this a vision. He calls this the way a prophet gets the message, the lip to ear, the eye to eye. See, he actually heard God. Saw him in the pillar of fire. He said, "I was taught it." Everything I'm telling you, Now going back then to 1 Corinthians 11:23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke and said, take ye, this is my body which is broken for you, this to remembrance of me. Now Paul the Apostle did not get that from Peter. He did not get it from hearsay. He got this directly from God himself, with no man intervening. God came down. And Brother Branham said, the same pillar of fire that brought the word is here revealing it. I want to ask a question, and who did it? He said, here I got it from Jesus. Here's what he told me, the Lord Jesus, which is Lord Jehovah, Almighty God. There aren't two gods. Don't ever think there is. There's one God. He said, take it, this is my body. Verse 25, after the same manner, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft you drink in remembrance of me. Now that was revealed to him. Now he'd heard different things about it, of course. Lots of crazy, blasphemous things. That they'd sneaked away the body of Jesus and were cutting little hunks off it and eating it. But I don't know where they got the blood from, because they know the blood drained on the ground. Unless they worked some little magic, they couldn't get the blood out of the ground. Any more than you can drink water that's spilled on the ground. So whatever Paul heard, he sure got corrected. Right here. And this is what God himself told Paul. Now he says, off you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show forth the Lord's death till he come. Now which coming is he talking about? The only coming he can talk about is what Jesus talked about. He said, we'll do this anew in my kingdom. And that was what they were looking for, which is in the millennium, without a doubt. You say, well, this go to the New Jerusalem. I don't know. It's possible. What's to stop it? The Lamb's on the throne. And the Lamb signifies the crucified one. So who's to stop it? Like I said the other Sunday, you go right to New Jerusalem. The tree of life that bears 12 manner of fruits. And the leaves are for the healing of the nations. And Brother Branham said, that's to keep peace. You have a bunch of rocks sitting up here. What's to keep peace? There's no devil, there's no flesh here. What's to keep peace? You shrug, you don't know. The answer, as far as I know, further sanctification. What's being sanctified now? Your minds. If you can't get your minds over to God, you'll never understand the word. Brother Branham said, get rid of your own thing, you ain't got a thing coming. Let your mind be impregnated by this word. And when it does like a womb, it'll close up to any seed. Now listen, the womb was opened in the first church age in Ephesus. But in the last age, it's closed. It's over. That's why you can walk to the tree of life, standing right up in the condition you're in. Because believe it or not, though your flesh is here to be tested, you come to the place where the mind can completely glorify God. As Paul said, in the mind and in the spirit, and it trickles down to the body. Because that's the temple of the Holy Ghost. You say, man alive, that's a pretty shabby dump the Holy Ghost lives in. No, not really. It's got to be pretty good for God to shed his blood and bring it back again. I wouldn't run it down if I were you. In fact, my Bible tells me a man should cherish his wife like he cherishes his own body, because no man hates his own body, but loves it and nourishes it. Who are you going to believe, God or yourself? The renewing of the mind brings on a transfiguration. Transfiguration means transformation. Transformation means immortality. Looking in the Word. The perfect Word of liberty. What is that? You're liberated. It's in the Spirit now. And that Spirit given us takes the place of the word body we missed, or we wouldn't sin. No temptation. Now what's the great temptation? To get off the word. Everybody thinks it's what you do. Brother Brandon categorically says smoking, lying, swearing, those are only attributes. Sin is unbelief. So if we come to the place of perfect faith, which he talked about, which is the vindicated message, I believe it. There's nothing else but it. And you see it. How are you going to miss it? Anyway, there it is. That's Revelation. The Lord's Supper is part of it. Show his death till he come. Come in his kingdom. Drink it anew with him. Bible said so. What's that going to be? Abraham with Melchizedek again. Because God incarnates himself when Christ comes down here. God only disincarnates himself in New Jerusalem. Lamb on the throne, pillar of fire above the throne. See, why would he do it? Why don't you mind your own business? Just believe him. See what happens? Mess up every time. Well, why? Why do they make crazy things up here? That's my business. Mind you, mind your own. You get up here. I'll leave the building. Be honest with you. See, you've got to remember, listen, brother, it doesn't matter too much with the vessel, like long as it's what's coming out of the vessel is real. You look at me, you can be thrown for a loop. So look at the Word. You're supposed to look in the Word to see Christ. And when you truly see Christ, you will see yourself. Perfect identification, Brother Branham brought to me. You know, people just don't believe the prophet, that's all. Hold it. Hold it. Here, but not there. Well, here, but not there. Always there. Always there. Always there. No matter how far he takes you, further the better. Because one day we'll be taken so far, we can't afford to walk back and it just take us home. Yep. Like Elijah. When he crossed over Jordan, man, he went straight up. Many people don't want to go the waterway because they're afraid they're going to drown. Listen, don't be afraid to go the waterway. That's where the life is. I hope you're catching what I'm saying. I'm repeating Brother Branham. What he brought us, Ezekiel's vision of the waters flowing out of the eastern gate, to the ankle, to the knees, to the hips, water to swim in, waters to carry you over. Let a bride come in, stand on the waters of separation. Oh, yes, just taking the Lord's Supper. The perfecting of the blood that we honor tonight. The glorifying of the life, which we know came from the one who was here. How could you be baptized with the Holy Ghost and not say amen to every word God himself is giving us? Oh, my. Wherefore, whosoever eat this bread and drink the cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of Christ. That's an unworthy manner. Well, now, the unworthy manner, of course, at that time, was not only just besotting themselves in what they called the love feast before they took the Lord's Supper. That wasn't it. He had to bring out the truth of the Lord's Supper. They just weren't with it. They didn't have the revelation. They weren't getting it. That's why Brother Branham said that you should really be full of the Holy Ghost to take the Lord's Supper. But that's, you know, between the believer and God. Nobody could date to really prove you got the Holy Ghost except you believe the prophet's word, and then 2,000 people are going to come against you and say, you're lying, you're all mixed up. Between you and God. I believe that we have the truth. I speak this for all of us. I don't believe anybody needs to be afraid. We're not unworthy taking the word and the communion table tonight. Let a man examine himself. So eat that bread and drink that cup. For the warning is, you eat unworthy. You drink condemnation. Judgment, not discerning the Lord's body. For this caused many weak and sickly among you. I believe the hour is coming, brothers and sisters, just like it was back there when they came out of Egypt. that Brother Branham continually prayed, let there not be one sick one amongst us. I believe that day could absolutely come in our hour. Not one more sick person. Well, they won't be if you're going to go make the rapture, I can tell you that. You'll be anything but sick. Think of some of those folk that have gone on before. Husbands leaving their wives, parents leaving their children, and so on. See him come up the path. Oh, yeah. They'll seek you out. You know that? They will. Right? They seek you out. To make themselves known. For 30, about 40 days. So you get to know each other and everybody who made it. And then after the 40 days, all eyes are going to be on Jesus Christ when that Spirit in the midst incarnates himself. Crown him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Son of Man, Son of God, Son of David. Lily of the Valley, the Rose of Sharon, the altogether lovely. And all those wonderful names that signify his worthiness, his incomparable dimensions, the only blessed potentate. A lot of potentates. This is a blessed one. All wise God. And you crown him. And you say, hey, he was what he said he was. Can you believe that that's what he said he was? Can you believe that is actually Matthew 12? Well, it's got to be. All right, let's rise. Brethren, come forward. And start the song service right away. You all know how we have the Lord's Supper here. You just kind of watch everybody and it'll work out just right. So let's ask the Lord to bless the elements. You know how we come? You split here on two sides. There's one person with the bread and two people with the cup of the wine. So that it moves faster. The ladies all go out in the hall back there for foot washing. The men stay here till we get things a little more lined up for the men, which we've got plans now to help them out. Heavenly Father, as we partake of these elements tonight, these emblems, we know, Father, that they would not be an emblem except there is a reality behind it. As every single thing we see here in this world is a perfect picture containing exactly what was there in the beginning. So now we have an emblem which signifies exactly what was there and is there, which is the shed blood stands for us, and the life is here to lead us in. Not only the baptism, but the giver of life himself in our midst at this end time, even as it was in the beginning. And Father, we appreciate that tonight, that we're standing on reality. We're not standing on symbols. Those symbols we do have, that's just to remind us and to keep us. Just like you said back there, now bind these words upon your brow. Put them upon your wrists. Put them around your ankles so you'll always be aware of it. And so you gave us these sacraments that we would be aware. And Father, tonight, I don't believe for one minute that it can be said that this does not make us aware. It's not just mechanics, it can't be. There's got to be some dynamics, the element in it. And how true it is when you said, do this till I come, and we'll drink it anew in my kingdom. We know your kingdom is here in the sense that everything is in you who are present tonight, and you've guaranteed the completion of what you started, even as Paul said, that I'm absolutely sure that he which hath begun a good work in me, I'm confident, will perform it until the day of the Lord Jesus Christ, right up to the millennium. There won't be one hitch and one miss, nor will there be. So we thank you for this great privilege of further having fellowship together, not only around the word of admonition, concrete understanding, but around this act of worship also, bringing us more and more into the channels. What Brother Branham said, how can you not help love each other, you that love this same word? Lord God, it's got to be that way. It's got to be that way. Somebody's got to have it, Lord. If we're not bride, there's a bride out there somewhere. But tonight, Father, we're counting. It's got to be with us. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Brother Lloyd.
Brother Graham just said we should be careful going home because evidently there's flooding conditions outside there. Some of the roads may be flooded over. So be very good to be very, if there's anything on the road that looks deep, don't turn around and come back necessarily, but, you know, just really watch it. You know, I was just talking about, you know, during the service, how that I've got a patience that's is unique. And it is because I can wait for answers. But sometimes in ordinary life, my answers surprise me because I wonder how I could be so dense. And I've been going through my head and going through my head and going through my head, which isn't much of a head. You know, like the fellow said, I've seen better heads on a cabbage stem. But wonder how we're going to help the men to get a better place for foot washing. By next communion, it's solved. There'll be at least as many as 40 to see. 10 chairs on both sides will take care of 20 people. That's 10 couples and 10 couples. So instantly leaving here, we're going to put one of those nice curtains, like that folding door, like in the back for the women, right across the foyer. Should have thought of that how many years ago? 2, 3? So just blame me. But next foot washing union, the men are going to have a place also. And then what's needed here, it'd be facilitated, and everything would be so much better. So we thank the Lord that even though we're slow, He isn't. The answer was there all the time. So we appreciate it. And we'll get it done. They're working on it right now. And everything is going to work out just fine. Appreciate seeing some of you here that have never had foot washing with us, communion, up until now. I really appreciate that because it's an ordinance of God. It's a commandment. And it does something. God never has anything in the universe that isn't just right. So how much more in His... what He wants us to do is an ordinance. Let's rise and be dismissed. Watch the run going home. Heavenly Father, we're departing to go home, thanking You, Lord, for Your goodness and mercy to us, which we do appreciate. Be with us, Lord, as we launch out to go home. We pray if the roads are bad or anything, we'll be very careful, and You will help us, O God. We know that You're here to help us, Lord. And may no matter how bad things are, which we know that won't be bad for us because You'll take us through, our eyes are on You, Lord. Our hopes are set on You, and in God we trust. So now, Lord, as we go again, we just thank You for Your goodness, Your protective care, and all those things that are so rich and beauteous. And now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power, honor, and glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Take the name of Jesus with you.